So why don't you put your hands together and welcome Daniel Malone as he comes to speak.
It's such an honour to be with you today, and honestly, I'm so honoured to be able to share with you just a few things the Lord has been doing in my life over the past year and a half. I have known Craig, as he said, for the last 18 months really well, and Craig, you've been such a voice in my life, and my wife and I have navigated a big transition, and there was a moment where I was completely off Instagram, but one or two friends would just be sharing a couple of prophetic words and things that God was speaking through Craig. And I'll tell you this story. I was in Dublin 6 months ago, and we had just made the decision to come back to Ireland. I was like, Lord, what are we going to do? And there was just so many different aspects. You know, when you're in a transition, you're trying to figure out things. And my phone pinged, and right there on the phone, 18th of June, I still remember, Craig, we haven't even talked about this, was a text message from Craig. And it was a word from the Lord specific to our situation. And there are Logos words for everybody, but then there are Rhema words that are specific to our situation. And I just want to honor you, Craig. I want to honor you, Beck. I want to thank God for this beautiful couple, the blessing they are in my life. Can we just take a moment, just honor them, thank God for them. I really believe today, we've already prayed for healing. I believe today God is going to show you something a little bit different in his word. And you're going to walk out of here just seeing his perspective for your life and experiencing his healing. And I really, really believe that God is going to do something supernatural. I want to show you a picture of my family first. Here they are. I have two beautiful little girls. There they are, Zaya and Marley. Zaya is our three-nager. She tells us what to do. You know, when she was born, we had a household sign that said, Jesus is the head of this home. She took that down. And she's there. And then we have Marley. And Marley is, we call her Miracle Marley. Or Marley Moo. But Miracle Marley, when she was born, she had a significant brain injury. She was born, I'll tell you the story just briefly, but she was born completely unresponsive. There was a lot of complications, and the doctors really worked on her for a number of hours. There was a lot of different things going on. I was in the theater, the birth theater, and I was there crying out to God, believing God for healing. And my wife, who had just given birth, was in complete peace. Deborah's her name, and she's an amazing woman of faith. She was in complete peace, and I'll never forget it. The day after that, I was kind of trying to navigate, like, Lord, is Deborah fully grasping the gravity of this situation? I said, Deb's like, this situation is really serious. You know, the doctors have given a prognosis of, you know, brain injury, you know, a life-altering condition. And Deborah had complete peace. And she looked at me. She said, Daniel, this baby's going to be okay. This baby's going to be okay. And I really had to navigate it. I was taking her to different, we were going to different x-rays and different scans and different places in the hospital. And we were getting all of these specialists coming in. And Deborah said to me, she said, Daniel, when Marley was born and the doctors were operating on her, I just clearly remember two tall angelic beings coming into the room and standing over her. And I have complete peace that she is going to be well, and she is going to be a completely healthy child. And I said, well, why didn't they show themselves to me? Like, I was running around going mad. What's going on? Where were they for me? She said, she's complete peace. From that day, we've walked in it. She just celebrated her one-year-old birthday. She's walking. She's talking. The doctors have said she's exceeding all of her milestones. She's a complete miracle, and that's why we call her Miracle Marley today. Anybody grateful that God intervenes in situations in our lives? I want to talk to you today from two verses of Scripture that are unique passages that we often read and can be hard to comprehend and understand, and then we're going to pray for some healing in the room and healing for our situations, as Craig has already led us so beautifully. The first passage of Scripture is a passage of Scripture from Paul, and he writes this in Romans 5. And if you're taking notes today, you can just write this. We can rejoice too when we face problems and trials. I'm a Liverpool fan. Anybody else a Liverpool fan in the room today? Any Arsenal fans in the room today? Great. Any Man City fans? Great. There's the door. You're fine. There's the door. I'm only joking. It's a good church. It's a healthy church. No Man City fans. We can rejoice. Paul kind of uses a juxtaposition, so to speak. You ever meet somebody, you tell them something and you're like, are you grasping what I'm saying? Are you empathizing with what I'm going through? Are you fully understanding the situation or the stress I'm in? Some of the wives are nudging their husbands. He's talking about you. Paul is saying we can rejoice too, like Liverpool lifting the Premier League title. We can rejoice too when we, wait, what? Face trials and problems and circumstances. And then he says this, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And verse 4 says this, and endurance develops character. The Greek word there is dokeme. It's another Greek word you're learning today, but it means a tested character. Basically, Paul is saying is that there is a certain trial that you go through that produces a character in you that cannot be produced in any other way. The dokeme in the Greek, it really is like a goldsmith who refines gold in the depths of a fire until he can see his reflection. This is what God wants to produce out of your life as you go through trials, as you go through situations, as you go through circumstances. He wastes nothing. He utilizes it all, and he wants to produce character. The next verse says this, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this is the key verse. If you get this verse today, you walk out of church today and you grasp this verse, this is the key one. This is the one we're going to speak from, verse 5. And this hope will not to lead to disappointment. For we know, turn to your neighbor and say, for you know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Romans 3 verse 5, I'm going to read it again. For I know in the midst of my trials, in the midst of my circumstances, in the midst of my pain, in fact, I can only know it in that context, how dearly God loves me because he has given us the Holy Spirit. Anybody grateful for the Holy Spirit this morning? To fill our hearts with his love. John 16, 33, Jesus says this, another passage of scripture. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says it just before he's leaving the disciples. In this world, you are going to have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The title of my message today is The Power of Your Pain. The Power of Your Pain. My daughter is 3. She's the 3-nager that I was telling you about, and she's a real character. She has a very, very strong personality. She is very sensitive, she's very confident, and those two gift sets together can just make a wild combination. And here she is, that is the picture I wanted to show you. Last month, we took her, the weather is getting better, and savor it, guys, because it's not going to last. Well, anyway, let's speak with faith. It's going to be here forever. But we took her to an ice cream parlor for the first time last month. It was amazing. With our first child, and parents, you might understand this, she was on an organic diet, no refined sugar. She hadn't tasted any of the good stuff. We had her on, you know, all of the macros, all of the nutrients, all of the perfect things. The second child came along, it's like, whatever you want, you can have it all. If it gets in there and you're fed, it's like a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. We had all of these ideals. Our child will be, you know, a specimen of health. So anyway, she hadn't had an ice cream until she was 3. And this was last month. I'll never forget it. I took her to the ice cream shop and it was so exciting. She knew what she was getting. And we walked up and we got an ice cream and it was amazing. I could see her licking that ice cream. And it's a real perk of being a dad that you get to fix those things. You've got to fix them. You got to keep them, you know, You got to fix them. You know what I'm talking about. Father's in the room. You get an ice cream and you're like licking that thing. Anyway, it's all good. The calories don't count. They're calorie free. She licks it. She licks it. She's so excited. And then all of a sudden, I could see it happen. She was enjoying the goodness. Her eyes lit up. And I could just see her turn the ice cream, open her mouth, and bite into the ice cream. Now, Lord, we just pray healing over anybody here with sensitive teeth. Anybody here? Sensitive teeth. I have been blessed with sensitive teeth, but there's a healing for you tonight. Today. There's a healing. Some people actually are laying their hands on their teeth. She bit into it, and I could see her react. I could see her react. Cold, cold, cold. I don't want, I don't want, I don't want. And she threw it back to me. She gave it back to me. She said, I don't want. Anyway, last week we go, we say, okay, we're going to go get an ice cream, and we're trying to teach her to engage with everybody. And we go back to the same parlor. We're there, and we're standing there. It's amazing, beautiful day. And I said, Zaya, go for it. She walks up to the lady and she says, one warm ice cream, please. One warm. I'm standing there. I'm like, Zaya, it's not a thing. She's like, warm ice cream. I don't want a cold ice cream. I want a warm ice cream. I'm like a three-year-old trying to explain this theological concept that you can't have an ice cream without the ice. It's in the word. And sometimes as Christians, sometimes as people of faith, we cannot understand how we can have life and there's pain in it as well. And Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, there is a purpose in it. Take heart, there is a plan in it. Take heart, there is a solution in it. And sometimes in the eyes of faith, we say, no, take it as far as the east is from the west. Here are the things that I've realized about pain. Pain is the thing that God uses to produce something in our lives. Jesus actually talks about it like this. He says, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering or a cup of pain away from me. He is in his darkest moment and he likens the pain or the suffering, the trouble that he went through as a cup. I have a cup here just as an analogy, just as a picture to paint to each of you that there is pain in our lives and it represents a cup. I want to speak to the pain in our situations. I want to speak to the pain in our journey. I know for some of us that a cup does not adequately express or explain the pain that we have went through. For some of us, we've been through trauma in our lives. We've been through betrayal, abuse. There's things that we have had to navigate in our families, in our upbringing. For some of us, we have chronic pain in our situations. There's chronic pain in our bodies. There's things that are so difficult to walk through. Yet God says in your life, you're going to have to walk through these things. But what is the purpose of it? Jesus likens the pain in our lives to a cup before the Father. The beautiful thing about pain, and I say this aware of how it sounds, but the pain in our lives has a capacity. And for some of you, you'd say, no, I haven't been through a small bit of pain. You would need to bring a bucket up here and you would need to lay it down. And that would adequately express the size of the situations and circumstances that I have been through. So often in our lives, we run from it. We try to suppress it. We try to medicate it. We run away from it. We ignore it. There's so many things that we try and do to say, no, I don't want to accept it. And God says, no, if you bring it to me, there's a power in it that I want to use. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. First thing you've got to know is that the more pain in our lives, the more capacity for something. The bigger the pain, the bigger the capacity. And it's really important that you grasp this today, that there are some things that have created a hollow hole in our lives, situations and circumstances that only God can reach us in. And I want to speak to you today, if you're in that situation, you're saying, Lord, you know what? I need you. I need you in this pain. I need you in this situation. I need you in this circumstance. If we can get that verse up again, Romans 5, verse 5. I'm just going to leave it up there for a couple of moments. If I can leave it on the screen, that would be amazing. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The Holy Spirit comes onto the scene. And in the midst of your pain, Paul says this. He says, he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. I have a jug here. The jug represents the Holy Spirit. I want to just teach you just for a moment on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the administrator of all of the riches that Christ won for you on Calvary. When you invite the Holy Spirit into your life, he divvies out or deals everything that Jesus won for you on the cross. You think about it like this. He is the bank teller. There is an account that Jesus paid for. And as you go to the teller and you say, can I have what is in the account? He administrates that in its fullness. That's why when we invite the Holy Spirit and we say, come, Holy Spirit, we have access to everything that Jesus won for you on the cross. Isn't that an incredible thought for a minute? As the team were praying, the leadership team, before this service, everybody had their hands open like this and they said, come, Holy Spirit, because we know when the Holy Spirit is in the room, we have access to the entirety of God's kingdom. We have access through his presence to everything that the Father has won for us. If you need grace today, through the Holy Spirit, you can access it. If you need peace today, through the Holy Spirit, you can take hold of it. If you need purpose today, through the Holy Spirit, God, through Jesus, has won it for you. Anybody grateful for that today? Come on, anybody grateful for the Holy Spirit in this room? Where you're saying, God, if it wasn't for the administrator, the person who releases the payments that were won for me on the cross, oh, I would be lost. I would be lost. He says it like this, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit. The jug represents the Holy Spirit. It is the ability of God to come into a situation and come into our pain and administrate something or fill us with something. Verse 5 says this, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit. We're inviting the Holy Spirit into this room. He's here. He's present. The jug comes into the room. He says, we invite the Holy Spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill us with something. And out through the Holy Spirit, Paul writes, there's a filling of the love of God. The Holy Spirit comes onto the scene. And he fills our heart with the love of God. The cup represents our pain. The jug represents the Holy Spirit. And the water represents the love of God. I wasn't very good at maths in school. In fact, I was great at maths until they started adding the alphabet into maths. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, it's like one of those things where you're like, 2 + 3 = 5. 2a + 4b. I'm out, guys. And teachers used to say, you're good with your hands. You're good with your hands. I was like, I'm great with my hands. And there's a picture here that I want you to grasp, because when I see a picture of the grace of God, it changes how I view him. And I just want you for a minute to lean in, not to think of it just as a thing that you're reading, but to see that there's pain and circumstances in your life and situations in your life. And when Paul writes, he says, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill the pain, to fill the circumstance. We can rejoice because there's a filling that comes through the Holy Spirit of the love of the Father. Now, I want to park this here for a minute, because as Christians and as people, the greatest problem with our pain is that we run from it, or we hide it, or we say, Lord, as far as the east is from the west, it does not exist. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to ignore it. And God is saying, no, my Holy Spirit is here. And if you take it to me and place it before me, I can fill you. But if you've put it so far away from you that you don't bring that hurt and that pain to me, there is no filling of the love of God. The other thing we do is we say, oh, well, as far as the east is from the west, the other thing we do is we also say, no, I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to get through it myself. I'm going to make sure that nobody sees it. I'm going to make sure that nobody can get in. I'm hard. I went through it. I got through it myself. I'm a proud Irish person. I can stomach anything. And God is saying, no, open yourself to me. Don't let pride or the ability to try and get through it in your own strength cover you from something that you are entitled to. I had the privilege of walking a journey with one of the captains of the Springbok national team many years ago, and they won the World Cup, and it was amazing. It was great to be in their world and in that kind of scene for that season. I'll never forget, because, you know, as Irish people, we don't get to lift many trophies in our lives. So you kind of have to kind of, you know, try and find it in another place. I'll never forget it. He walked up to the podium, the Webb Ellis Cup, and all of the team were there. Some of the team that were in our church, and we had been able to be chaplains to them, and they got to the cup, and then he just walked away and he didn't lift it. And I was like, no, he didn't. He took the cup and he lifted it high. And you know, friend, today, it's like that kind of analogy where you've been through some pain. You've been through some hurt. You've been through some situations. You got through the grueling game. You got through that season of your life. You got through that broken marriage. You got through that relationship breakdown with a child. You got through that chronic illness. You got through that diagnosis. You got through that circumstance. You got through that betrayal. You got through that hurt. You got through the job loss. You got through it. You got through it. And God is saying, you've been through it. Now, for we know how dearly he loves us, you can lift the cup and let him fill you. But you've got to have that posture of surrender that brings your circumstance and your challenge and your pain to the Lord and says, Lord, fill me. I believe for some of you today, the filling is in the love of God. The healing is in the love of God being poured out. And where the healing is, and where the openness is, that's where the love of God can come. Friends, I've had the privilege of working in the mental health industry. I've had the privilege of working with so many different people. And I have realized in my own journeys and struggles, there have been times in my life where I have not been able to put verbiage or language to some of the complexities of my soul. And I love that God, somebody asked me, what do you think's going on with you? I said, I don't know. That's why I came to you. I don't know what's going on. You know, the beautiful thing about the love of God that Paul likens it to is a filling. Because I've realized about water is that it can go to the very lowest part of who we are. It can go to the deepest crevices of our hearts and our spirits. And it can heal things that we can't even express to the Lord. But when we invite him in through the Holy Spirit, his love flows so deep to the lowest parts of our innermost being. And he can heal us supernaturally through his love. Oh, it's so beautiful today. It's so beautiful what you can experience as God comes into your life and your situation. I believe for some of you today, we had a lady in our church. Every Sunday, she had experienced an injury. She was in an accident. And every day she would come forward on a Sunday and she would ask the elders, James 5, she would say, hey, can you pray for me? Anoint me with oil. And there was about a year where she would, at the end of every service, come up the front and she would say, can you anoint me with oil? Pray for me today. And what she was doing was she was opening her life up to the Holy Spirit. And it was gradual and it was gradual. And every week, at the end of the service, the kids would be running around. Daddy, can we go home? This lady would walk forward and she'd say, I'm here today. I'll never forget it. There was a Sunday where I was waiting. I was like, okay, I got to do this. We're going to pray for her. And she just walked out of one of the rows, just where this gentleman is here. And she looked at me. She smiled. She walked out the door. The next week, I said, last week you didn't come up. She said, Daniel, I experienced my healing. It didn't look like a one-off, but it looked like a consistent filling where I kept coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, would you fill me? Would you heal me? Would you work in me? Oh, friend, today some of us are expecting God to pour out his presence, but for some of us, it's just going to look like a consistent filling. And you know, the beautiful thing is when you come into the Holy Spirit, I know it looks like I'm a science teacher here today, but that's okay. When you come to the Holy Spirit and he fills you with the love of the Father, and you go through relationship breakdowns and you go through things, traumas that were out to get you. You know, there's a moment in your life where you don't identify as an empty cup of pain anymore, but you actually start to say, no, 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 look what the Holy Spirit did. He filled me. Look at the love. Look at the story. The enemy meant things for evil, but God turned it for good. I no longer look at the lack in my life or what I went through. I no longer identify out of my illness, but I look at what He did for me, and I realize that I no longer say, oh, I'm this or that, but His love filled me and replenished me and restored me. And this is the testimony of the love and the grace of God. Come on, anybody grateful today that you went through some things, but He filled you, He restored you, He replenished your soul. And for some of us today, the healing in our lives looks like a filling. It looks like a filling of the love of God. For some of you this morning, God is saying, I'm filling you with my love. You've just got to open up. You've got to open up to me. Where's the healing? What's going on in my life? I thought I was getting through this situation. God is saying, I'm filling you. I'm filling you. I'm filling you. As the worship team come, there's a beautiful passage in Scripture that talks about David. And he says this. He says, in the presence of my enemy, my cup overflows. My cup overflows. See, for some of you today, there is so much going on in your life that you feel surrounded by anxiety, surrounded by situations, surrounded by circumstances. But you can say, Lord, despite all of the things that are going on in my life, when I invite the Holy Spirit into this place, into this situation, and open up to Him, He wants to fill me. He wants to fill me. He wants to fill me. See, friend, this cup, it starts to overflow. I've realized in my life, I've met a lot of pessimistic Christians. It's like the glass is half full. I've met a lot of optimistic Christians. The glass is half full. But friend, to the child of God, the cup is always overflowing. It's always overflowing because there is a filling that you are entitled to in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can walk into situations and circumstances, into your school, into your exams this week and say, Father, fill me again with your love. Come on, anybody grateful just for that love today that was poured out for you on the cross, that was ministered to you, administered to your life, administered to your situation. If I had a teaspoon today, a little tiny teaspoon, and I was trying to take the love of God and just start to pour it out and fill the teaspoon. I hadn't been through some things, so I couldn't experience the fullness of God. And for some of us today, because we haven't experienced that love, we've only a little bit of water in the cup, and then we go into a family situation or a dynamic at work or a brokenness in our home, and we try to pour out what hasn't been poured in, and we've nothing to give. The definition of burnout is that you simply are depleted. You have nothing left to give. But friend, today, as a child of God, He can fill you afresh with His love. And there is a filling that He wants to administrate through the Holy Spirit if you open up to Him today. And Paul writes it like this, for I know in the midst of my trial, in the midst of my circumstance, how deeply and dearly God loves me. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I loved that the team, as they prayed, I opened my eyes. I know I should never open my eyes during the prayer meeting, but I did. And every single one of this beautiful team who prayed for us before service had their hands like this. And I just looked around the room. And as Pastor Craig just said, they were waiting to receive something from God. The posture of an open hand is lifting the cup and saying, Father, I need you today. I need you to fill me afresh. For some of you, I just feel the Holy Spirit would say you've persevered in that trial under that manager, in that high-pressured situation. You've got through it. And He'd say, well done, you're getting through it. Now let me fill you with my spirit. Because when you've been through it, for we know, you can know something. It's not a knowing, it's the Hebrew word yada, to experience something. Craig took me last night to this barbecue house in a field as a tractor was driving by. Holy smokes. It was incredible. There's a God-shaped hole in every person that only holy smokes can fill. It was beautiful. There was a guy there called Samuel who administered the fullness of God to us. And he laid that table. And there was the brisket. Has anybody been to Holy Smokes? Just take the photo now. Salvations today, all over the room. You know, it's funny. I will remember that dinner for the rest of my life. But if Craig had just said to me, hey, there's a great spot called Holy Smokes, but we're actually going to eat here, I wouldn't even remember the place, because that would be a head knowledge. But God says, for we know. Paul says, for we know. The Greek word is yada, Hebrew. It's an experiential type of knowledge. And this is the beauty of the Christian walk, is that you have to taste and see and experience that God is good. Now you're wondering, why was he talking about Holy Smokes? Because Craig said something to me like this: it's the best place to eat around here. And when I tasted it, I was like, I will tell people how good that place was, because I don't just know it in my head. I experienced it in my stomach. I experienced it. And friend, that is the type of relationship we need to have with God. In the midst of my trial, I can experience something that will change me and alter me. It's not just a head knowledge. I'm not speaking against head knowledge. We need that. But there's an experience in the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God. You can experience his love, his peace, his affirmation, that despite the gray, gloomy situation you are in, you can experience the life and the light and the love of God. And all you have to do is say, Father, fill me. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do today. If you need healing in your life, if you've been through a situation today, I feel the Holy Spirit just saying, you've persevered, now let me fill you. If that's you today, and you just need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, why don't you just stand? And what I want you to do is stand and open your hands and say, come Holy Spirit, fill me with the love of the Father. Maybe you're here today and you were praying for healing. Right now, you're just feeling the love of God. The Father is saying, you've persevered, my child, you've been through it. I've seen it. I know you've persevered through it. I know that you have navigated. I know you've played it over in your mind so many different times. I know it's taken you a long time to get to this point. And he's just saying, now let me fill you. Now let me fill you. For some of you, and I sense this in the room today, he's saying, oh, there you are. Welcome back. It's been a while since you've taken this hurt to me, since you've taken this betrayal to me. Why did you keep it from me? And he's saying, now I'm filling you today with my presence, with my spirit. My love is the healing. My love is the healing. It's going to heal that hurt. It's going to put it in perspective. Oh, it's going to administer a new level of life to you. Just keep praying. Say, Lord, fill me. Fill me. For some of you, it's saying, Lord, I just open up to you. Fill me afresh. For some of you, you feel like you've lost so much. It feels like that empty cup. It feels like an empty space, a void. God is saying, I can fill that loss, that grief, with my love today. Oh, just breathe him in. Experience him. For some of you today, you need to see God's purpose in the trial of your life. and you have fought it your whole life. You fought it this past season. And God is not saying to accept it, but he's saying, can you see that I'm drawing you closer? Can you see that I work all things together for good? Can you see that in the trials and the pressures of this situation, I've been trying to bring you to this place of complete surrender in the Holy Spirit? So, Father, right now you see your children. We don't come to you as servants. We don't come to you as slaves. We don't come to you as workers. We don't come to you as great people. We come to you as your children. That is the currency today. And we say, Father God, Abba Father, would you fill us with your love to overflow? Lord, any area that's hollow and cracked and broken, would you fill it with your Spirit now? You see your children. You see them. Lord, minister to them right now. Fill them afresh. Thank you, Lord, that you're filling them. You're healing grief today. You're healing loss today. You're healing bodies today. You're healing minds. I just see the oil of God, the presence of God, like infiltrating pathways where there's been chemical imbalances. And you've wondered, why am I feeling this way? And God's love, his Spirit, is just filling you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.